Now, I don't say this often.
He's going to be a wild card in the league.
Welcome back to another episode of the Wild Cards Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Coleman Mallett. I'm joined here today with my good friends and fellow co-hosts.
Joshua Sykes.
Brandon Hartke.
One of these days, Brandon's going to be like, you know what? I'm putting my name first. I'm getting out ahead of it. And he's going to put his name before Josh. But well,
what's funny, Coleman, is that I've actually been thinking about that just because Josh like takes so long to answer.
Yeah.
I just would like, you know, it should be things if I up. Just went first, it would just sound better. But,
yeah.
You know, he just sits there lagging. So,
all right, let's get right into the news. So first up, we got Brandon with a story about Mike Evans. Brandon, what's going on with Mike Evans?
You know, man, so Mike Evans, some would call him the greatest wide receiver in Bucs history. He and the Bucs reached a two-year deal of $52 million, and $35 million of it is guaranteed money. So he's getting that cold, hard cash, which he deserves. I mean, until Tom Brady was there, he really, you know, hadn't had, like, a great quarterback. And, you know, he's had to deal with a lot of terrible QBs. So
this is Baker Mayfield.
Mike Evans.
Baker Mayfield. Quarterback
of all
time.
Okay. Whatever.
And speaking of Baker Mayfield, is he gonna get re-signed? Is that the next step? Because if you're Mike Evans, and that's what I hope and assume. But if you're Mike Evans, do you sign that contract knowing that you might not have a guy that you know thrown to you? I don't know. I think that he was under the impression that Baker was gonna be re-signed, and I think that's probably the idea of most people right now, is that that's what's gonna go down. But you know, you never know. I've seen some things, some stories about him to the Vikings, possibly. It's some things about him to some other teams that need quarterbacks, some of them lacking in the quarterback position. But yeah, we'll see. Definitely an interesting move. I'm sure I was surprised because I think the Bucks lost about, it was not like a ton, but it's still like significant. A few million dollars just because they didn't get the deal done in time for the, I think it was like a early February deadline. Or late February, anyway, but it was done after that. So I think they took a bit of a cap hit, if I'm not mistaken. So, but good for the Bucks that they got that done. Definitely a good thing for them going forward. Moving on, we got another story. Brandon, do you want to help us out with this one too?
Yeah, man, I can do this one. So the San Francisco Giants, obviously baseball team, they signed former Blue Jays third baseman Matt Chapman to a 3-year, $45 million deal. This is also, I mean, obviously baseball, no cap. So obviously a guy like Matt Chapman is going to be getting money, but I've saw that he turned down like $100+ million contract from a team. So, I mean, him having to settle with 54 million isn't probably what he wanted, but I think him on the Giants, hopefully they can turn that team around, but having to play the Dodgers all the time because they're in the same division is going to be tough for him.
Brandon, is that similar to, you know, the whole Klay Thompson situation? Another San Francisco employee, if you will, you know, turned down the big contract and had to settle with the garbage one. Good for the Warriors, though. They're lucky that Klay Thompson turned that contract extension down for how he's performed. But that's just a little tangent. What about Josh? You got any news about Zach Wheeler?
Yeah, Zach Wheeler has reached a 3-year extension that begins in 2025. The contract's worth $26 million with a salary of $42 million per year. So he's doing a pretty darn good. Of course, that's with the Phillies. If anybody didn't know that already, get your ball knowledge up.
Hit him with that, Josh. I see you.
Yeah, like they should already know that. So yeah, I mean, Zach Wheeler's there to stay. I think he's going to try to bring another World Series title to the Phillies. So
yeah, good luck with that. Anyway, we can move on. We got Jason Kelce. I'll cover this one. Jason Kelce officially retired. I think that was on Monday this week. It was a very emotional press conference. Of course, he's a 7-time Pro Bowler. All of his family was there. It was an emotional moment for him and the Philadelphia Eagles family, as much as they are pretty hated in the world of sports. But that's not the point. The point is Jason Kelce. All right, we got to celebrate his career. Great guy. There was a Feels Good Story of the Week, either last podcast, or I think it was the podcast before. Anyway, he's done some great things in the community for, you know, those with autism, a bunch of children in the area, a bunch of good fundraising efforts there. So definitely a great person. And it's sad to see him exit the league because, you know, he's a great center as well. So there's also that aspect of it. Obviously, he won the one-time Super Bowl with Nick Foles, against the Patriots, little Philly special. So there's been some great moments in Jason Kelce's career, and I think that's something we should celebrate. For sure, Hall of Famer, all-time center. Congratulations to Jason Kelce on retirement, as emotional as it may be. But yeah, let's move on. We got Brandon with another story. Josh Donaldson, not Josh Sykes, but we got Josh Donaldson.
It was me. Such a great career.
Yeah, you retired? No,
I'm retired.
I wish.
But no, not Josh. Josh Donaldson. I don't know if y'all know where he's from, but he's from Pensacola, so he's obviously a GOAT. But he has announced his retirement after 13 seasons in the MLB. He was a three-time All-Star, two-time Silver Slugger Award winner, and a 2015 AL MVP with the Blue Jays. His nickname was the Bringer of Rain, and he played most of his career, I want to say, with the Blue Jays. He started on the Athletics. His last team that he played for was the Brewers. So, well-deserved. I believe he's a Hall of Famer, but it's a little bit different in baseball. It's not like, you know, you win a Super Bowl in the NFL, you get Hall of Fame. So,
yeah,
it's a little different, but I think it's well-deserved. Great ending for his career, and I think he will enjoy retirement.
For sure, for sure. Moving on, we got Russell Wilson. Some news about him. Josh, you're going to help us out with that one?
Yeah, so Mr. Unlimited himself has been cut by the Broncos officially.
Now he's Mr. Limited.
Now he's unlimited because he has unlimited choices. He was just fulfilling his title. So after 2 years, the Broncos cut him, and now they're stuck with $85 million in dead cap space. So they're kind of limited in what they can do.
What are they cooking?
I think when you're so bad that a team's like, okay, we're gonna take the $85 million cap hit.
Yeah, that's
just to get rid of you. That's pretty upsetting.
I think they're making. Keep going.
No, that's pretty much all I had.
Oh, I was gonna say, I think it's kind of like another New Orleans Saints situation, like what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's just the money just keeps, like, where do they think it? Do they think it like grows from trees, or what's the deal here? I don't know any.
It technically does.
Oh, you're right. It does grow from trees. Paper. You know, that's a good point. I haven't thought about it that way. But maybe they got some special type of tree in Denver, Colorado, Mile High Stadium.
They be smoking that tree.
Yeah, no, you're right. That is. Maybe that's the tree they're talking about. Maybe they think they got all that green when it's really just all the marijuana. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, let's move on. We got the NFL Combine happened recently. Definitely an interesting event. I feel like there wasn't as much of like a hype buildup. Usually I see some marketing for it, but I really didn't know it was happening until like 2 or 3 days before. Just like unusual, because usually it's like, wow, like who are we looking forward to seeing? But I think part of the reason that it didn't happen was because of all the opt-outs in terms of quarterbacks throwing, which is like the main occasion. I mean, you think of quarterback, like big, think of some big combine moments. You got John Ross beating the 40-yard dash record. Of course, every time I say that, I like to point out the fact that Usain Bolt got like, I think, 0.01 seconds higher, or tied that record in like in his sandals and like I think it was like jean shorts. So I think there's some definitely got to look at it a few different ways, because like these guys are fast, but there are some people who are faster. But anyway, impressive nonetheless. And another interesting NFL combine, you know, moment was Zach Wilson throwing his way into a massive deal with the Jets. Obviously, we see where the Jets are now with their situation. That didn't turn out so great. Zach Wilson was not worth the hype. And in fact, he is only known for that one throw he made in the NFL Combine. But to be fair,
throw. He's known for more things than that.
Oh, we know what he's known for. There's some stuff that Zach Wilson has done to, you know, make himself pretty well known in the online community. I'll leave the listeners.
Of all ages.
Too. Yep, of all ages. I'll leave it up to the listeners to do their due diligence and research in that. But I just think it's interesting to point out all the past NFL Combine moments. But of course, there are some new records being broke, including the 40-yard dash, which I just referenced, by John Ross. Xavier Worthy just ran a 0.01 second faster time than John Ross. I think, a
4.21.
Yeah, pretty insane. I mean, not pretty insane. It's absolutely just unbelievable that.
Well, they've never invited me to the combine. You're right,
So everyone, take it with a grain of salt. Joshua Sykes has not been invited. So of course, you got
to
take
like I've seen Josh's speed too. That's about how fast Josh runs to his local McDonald's. So.
I remember that, Brandon. No, that's no crazy. Rob and that comment right there is crazy.
That's insane. Brennan,
I was gonna say Coleman, but you said you've never been invited to the combine, so
Yeah. Okay. You'd have to bring that. You'd have to say anything about McDonald's.
Man, that's crazy. McDonald's, we need a sponsorship for that one. Anyway,
I never have, nor ever. Well, actually, I take it back. I've never willingly ate McDonald's.
That has to be a lie, man. Their food is so good. Like, it's genetically engineered to be good. It can't be bad. Nah, that's the whole point.
Not good.
No, it is objectively good. No, I'll die.
Unless
on that.
They give us a sponsorship, then it's great.
You're right. You're right. That's the angle we should be taking. Anyway, exactly. Again, just to reiterate, Xavier Worthy, Texas, new fastest 40 time ever recorded in the NFL Combine. Congratulations to him. Pretty insane. I always like watching the videos because I think his first time was like, whoa, that's fast. But then he improved
4.25.
Yeah, it was 4.25, which is insanely fast. Everyone's like, dang. But then improving from a 4.25 to a 4.21 isn't like, that's insane. That's not just like, because at that level, that's such a big difference. That's like on your test scoring, but like a 60%, you get a D minus compared to like a 99 or 100%, because he's the best ever, the fastest one to do it. That's like going from a D average to 100% on your test. That's the difference, even though it may not seem like a lot.
Also in the NFL Combine, we had some standouts from FSU. If you
did,
if you know Brandon Fisk, or is that his first name? Braden Fisk. Thank you. Sorry for disrespect. Didn't know you were like that. Neither did the NFL. The NFL was put on notice by his times. Very skillful. He can move really well for a D tackle. And then Jared Verse did very well in his drills as well.
Sure.
And Keon Coleman didn't have an impressive 40 time. I think he ran a 4.61.
Very lackluster.
Damn.
But he did have the highest GPS time in the gauntlet, the pass gauntlet that they had.
Yeah.
I think he broke 21 or 22 miles an hour. Which
I thought it was
fastest.
Like 20. So I thought it was higher than that.
It may have been. I can't remember exactly the number, but.
And Josh. I might have been about to mention it. The
Puka Nacua?
Oh, no. I was going to say it wasn't even the most impressive part about Keon Coleman's run. The fact that he got to that speed is the fact that he was able to stay in a straight line. The guy went right before him and the guy went right after him. They're like moving all over the place. I mean, but Keon Coleman, you can see the fundamentals, and maybe I'm hyping him up because I'm a FSU student, but you can definitely see the difference in the, I think he knew that like that 40 time was like, wow, that's not good.
Yeah.
But, and he definitely made up for it. And I think that's like, speaks a lot to what he can do.
And somebody last year that I heard somebody compared him to, Puka Nacua, he did not run a good 40 time, yet he was the fastest on the GPS in the gauntlet drill as well.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know how you want to take that.
But and how'd that turn out for him?
I'll take it with a grain of salt.
Keon Coleman, offensive rookie of the year?
Maybe. No. We'll see. Okay, well, there's Brandon. We'll have to see on that one. Moving on, we got NCAA 25, the college football game that is set to release this summer. Everyone's super excited about it. And so are the players that are in the game. Over 10,000 players have opted into NCAA 25. Well, okay, so when you hop on a game of Madden, guys, you say, yo, you want to hop on Madden? Let's play Madden. If you hop on a game of 2K, you say, you want to play 2K. What do we say if we want to play a game of I'm not trying to say NCAA 25. You know, what do we say? What's the word? How are we going
to play? You want to play some college football?
I mean, yeah. I guess, is that the only thing you can say? I've been thinking about this for a while.
They name it after Saban. That'd be the only thing they can do.
Yeah, I know, but it's such like a, how do you market this game?
Yo,
like,
y'all want to play Saban 25?
Yeah, but like, you guys know what I mean, though, right? That's like, you can't really say, there's not really a
I don't think
way
you
to
have
say
to
mar- it.
I don't think you have to market it too much. I think it's marketing itself.
It's marketing itself, sure. I'm not talking about that type of marketing. I meant like the design of the, of just the name. I mean, like, there's not really
It worked before, so I don't know why it would be any different now.
Sure, I just don't remember. I wasn't old enough to like be on the Xbox talking to my friends, being like, what are we playing?
I never played Online Dynasty on it, but like I would always play it by myself and stuff.
Yeah,
like my friends come over, we'd play, but like.
But what do you call it though? That's the whole thing. Like, what do you call it?
Well, you NCAA, bro. NCAA.
Sure, I guess that's the best way to do it. Unfortunately,
not NCAA.
Sure, I know. I know you call it the NCAA, but
it's at Minnesota.
You just think there's supposed to be like another term for it that makes it easier. Anyway,
NCAA, Minnesota.
Speaking of people who have opted into the game, of course, it was announced that coaches will not be a part of the game. Unfortunately, that was a thing. Of course, the famous instance of that in Madden being Bill Belichick not wanting to participate. So I think his name, he had like a very iconic, like fake generic name given to him. And that was like the Patriots head coach for many years in the Madden franchise. But coaches will not be a part of the NCAA 25. Is that good, guys? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. They'll not be a part of the game, unfortunately. But Lane Kiffin has taken to Twitter, as he always does so very often. He does it a lot, and he has some funny takes on Twitter. But he went to Twitter, and he said that he would be in the game for free, which is like, wow, big, a lot of stuff there coming from a guy who gets paid millions of dollars a year. But yeah.
I'll do this one favor.
I'll be in a video game where I'll be able to grow my brand as a coach even more. But yeah, you guys don't have to give me any money. Like, wow, thank you, Lane Kiffin, for the.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good recruiting tool, though. You know, to be. I mean, you get to play for Lane Kiffin, then you'll get to play for Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Like the only, but I they wouldn't only have one coach in there.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
I think we're talking a lot about the game because we're excited about it. I'm, for one, very excited about it. What's the, is it like May something, June? What's the date?
It probably June, July.
So if they say July, so add 3 months to that and then we'll be able to play. So I think that's pretty cool knowing EA. always got to add that 3 month buffer in there.
July 12th, 2024.
All right. So get ready. December 15th, 2024.
Did that really come out? The July 12th?
The day? I think it's a real date.
According to a news report from David Waters, EA has set a release date of July 12th, 2024.
Well, you heard it here, probably 5th or 6th.
I had to work that day.
Yeah, I got to. I just got very violently sick on that day. I might have to call out of work. Sorry, Professor.
Maybe that whole week.
Yeah, I was just. Yeah, and my family needs a lot of help around the house and stuff like that. Anyway, I'm sure they'll understand. Let's move on. We got Carl Anthony Towns. Man, this one hurts. As a Timberwolves fan, Timberwolves enthusiast, Minnesota sports sufferer, if you will, this one hurts a lot. Timberwolves are obviously have been and are currently the first team in the West, but that will not be for much longer as their second option, Carl Anthony Towns, second to the GOAT, Anthony Edwards, of course. Carl Anthony Towns has been diagnosed with a torn meniscus, and there's really two options for Kat here. When you get a torn meniscus, especially as like a smaller guy, some may think that it might be the best option to do like a 4 to 6 week repair where they go in and they do a little quick fix up. That the recovery time for that's only about 4 to 6 weeks. It's not really recommended for guys who are either like larger, like Kat. Kat's huge, and also guys who are earlier in their career. It's not really recommended for those guys because it's kind of a risky surgery in a way. Sometimes there's like lingering effects afterwards. There's like health issues, health concerns, but nonetheless, it still is an option. And of course, this is probably the Timberwolves' best year in their entire franchise in terms of ceiling. Of course, they 20 years ago from exactly now, they had a great season with Kevin Garnett, big ticket MVP season of 2003-2004. But this is a really good season and a really poor way to be starting out one of the last few months of the regular season. So as for what will probably happen, Kat will probably not be back for this season, unfortunately. And what that means for him going forward with the Timberwolves, well, I guess we don't know yet. But it does mean that two words, Naz Reid, will be into the game and into the Timberwolves lineup at a more prevalent level. So make sure if you're watching the Timberwolves, which you should be, they're the best team in the NBA, make sure to be looking out for Naz Reid, the GOAT. Yeah, we got to move on to Ben Simmons, another injury, unfortunately, in the league. A bunch of stuff been going on recently, injuries, especially in NFL, back in that season last year. But been some injuries recently. Scottie Barnes was injured. Who else? Help me out here, guys. Joel Embiid, obviously, earlier. Let me think of some more. Obviously, John Morant's out for the year. Just a bunch of injuries. Ben Simmons out for the season with lingering back issues. He was playing decently well this year. Obviously, not to his full potential, as he was a former number one overall pick back in 2016, but he's been playing pretty good enough. He's had some like really good games, some pretty poor games, some average games, averaging 6-8-6. Do you guys think he should hang the jersey up? Should he be done? Because I mean, it's Ben Simmons, man. He's probably top three joke in the league, unfortunately. I mean, has he earned it? With personal reasons, probably not, but with play reasons, yeah, he's earned it. So what do you guys think? Should he just call it?
I think he hangs it up. Not that like he's bad, but I don't know how you have the biggest drop off besides Markel Fultz, obviously.
But he came back. Markel Fultz came back.
I mean, sure, but you know, if you're the number one pick, I mean, besides Anthony Bennett, I think Markel Fultz is up there with being a bust. I mean, you could call it being back, but you know, number one pick supposed to like change your franchise like Anthony Edwards is doing for the Wolves. You know, he's really
put Brandon knows ball
back on the map. And I think Ben Simmons, he's not like he's not bad, but he also has an issue with being on Twitter way too much than he needs to be. I think he's always defending himself, which is great, but I don't know. I think at some point you just ruin your reputation. So I think he should hang it up just to save his body, really.
Yeah.
I actually saw a stat where LeBron's played more games in a Laker uniform than Ben Simmons has played in his entire career.
That's insane. And what, LeBron, what was the year that LeBron joined? Summer of 18? That's not, sounds right.
It was Lonzo's first year, I think.
Yeah. But
Lonzo and Brandon.
Yeah, I remember that. Definitely an interesting stat. Speaking of like interesting stats, I literally just saw this like right before we started recording. Do you guys know that Draymond Green has more three points made than Larry Bird? Is that insane to
I saw that.
That's crazy.
But you gotta think. Like I said before, the game has changed.
Sure. Like, and it's, but Larry Bird was known as like one of the first pioneers from behind the arc.
Yeah.
He was known for shooting, and Draymond Green is known for his tackling. So two different sports,
his
really.
Choking
ability, very, very good. Very
kicking
aggressive.
Ability is actually up there too.
Kicking, yeah. In fact, I think he'd be a great football player.
I think he does a good job with that.
Yep, yep. Moving on, we got the bringing back a old segment that we used to do. Old.
We're pretty much vets at this point. Okay.
Yeah, we're pretty much veterans. You know, been in the game for over a year. But anyway, we're bringing back a segment that we used to do called Wild Card Player of the Month. We each pick a player from the East and the West. And honestly, it's really a we don't do repeats. It's really a whoever gets to the Google Doc first and picks their things type of deal, or whoever like has the initiative to like write out the script or the schedule for the pod is really who gets to pick their team first. And that was me in this case.
No, this is not scripted. This is totally off rip.
No,
this
off the rip. No, hey, okay. Well, we're writing our like the schedule overall, like a rough outline. It's like a rough draft for a paper you do in English. But anyway, I was sitting in my biology class today. There was a lull in the lecture, and I decided to write out who I thought was my favorite player, not my favorite, but like chosen player for the month is, who performed the best, who was doing the best in the East and the West. So first, for my Western Conference pick, unfortunately, I have to settle with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's been playing insane. I will say there's not really a stat that says free throw merchant, but if there was, he'd be leading it. I think he's a top three, top two. Yeah, I'd say top two free throw merchant in the league. Embiid's up there as well. You could probably cycle them out. It's becoming worse and worse. But this week, actually, Luka was a worse free throw merchant than him. So props to SGA for being less of a free throw merchant, although you still are an insane free throw merchant. Anyway, but yeah, the guy's going in crazy. Like last month, February, which is like what we're basing it off of player of the month. SGA is averaging 30 and a half points per game. He was averaging 60.6% from behind the arc, which is ridiculous. He played 11 games and out of the, I think, 12, I think he missed one. But yeah, OKC Thunder obviously probably going to retake the first spot in the Western Conference. And he's the best player on the best team in the West, or will be. So definitely a outstanding February for SGA. So moving on to my Eastern Conference pick, I have Jason Tatum. Also, unfortunately, I have a little note here under next to them. I say, unfortunately, next to both these names, because it's unfortunate that I have to say that these are my two picks, just off of personal preference. But Jason Tatum also had an outstanding February, and he capped it off in March, the cherry on top of the absolute rout of the Golden State Warriors. So props to him. He's been averaging some pretty crazy numbers too. He's been averaging 27 and a half points per game, and that's including the fact that he is on the most stacked team in the league, and also probably the most stacked team since I can't remember. It's a pretty stacked team just all around.
It's
so
the Warriors,
yeah, averaging that many points per game with the pieces that he has on his team is pretty crazy. So you got to give it to him. Definitely up there for contenders for face of the league in their future. Yeah, so both those guys are my two picks. What about you guys, Josh or Brandon? You guys want to go?
I guess I'll go first. For the West, I obviously chose the greatest shooter of all time. I went with Steph Curry. You know, many people, I believe the Warriors as of right now are a play-in team. So many people obviously didn't think the Warriors would be having the year they'd be having. They thought they'd be a little bit better, but Klay Thompson is slowing them down. But during the month of February, Steph Curry helped the Warriors to a record of 11-3. and he averaged 27.7 points per game. And at first, I was like, damn, that's pretty good. But I didn't realize they went 11-3 in the month of February.
Yeah.
Because when I think of the Warriors, I was thinking about all their struggles, but they really held it together in February. So props to them. Even with their coach dying, assistant coach, RIP, still managed to find ways to battle adversity and, get the wins out. And then for the East, I went with, the Greek feat, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
The worst pronunciation I've ever heard.
I'll say it for real. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
There you go.
He helped the Bucks to a 7-5 record, which I believe if they still had their head coach, they'd be first in the East. But because I don't
first?
Know.
First?
Yeah.
Really? You think they'd be over the Celtics?
Yep.
Okay. That's definitely a take.
7-5, obviously not what you want the Bucks at, but they still are second in the East. Unless the Cavs have overtaken them, I'm not really sure. I know it's pretty close, maybe like half a game separation. But Giannis was averaging 29.3 points per game. So I think with Giannis and Dame, having a good month, I think hopefully when they go into the postseason, they don't blow it like they did last year. So,
sure. What about you, Josh?
Yeah, in the month of February, my Western Conference Player of the Month was Luka Doncic.
Huh. You talking about Devin Booker's father?
I think that's him.
He had a great month. I don't know what to say about that. I mean, he scored the most points. He does everything for his team. He's just all around a great player. And then for the East, I picked DeMar DeRozan. But I didn't really know where I could go with this, so I did put in there Matt McClung because, he is the freaking GOAT, okay?
Dude.
He has single-handedly saved the dunk contest 2 years in a row.
I'll give you that. I'll give you
that
for sure.
That first dunk should have been a 50.
I agree. That was a crazy – I know we talked about it before, but that was probably one of an all-time sell by the judges.
Jaylen Brown shouldn't have made the finals. Jacob Toppin should have made the finals. I saw a dunk that he was going to do in the finals. Yeah. Absolutely insane. Nobody's ever done it before. It would have been crazy.
No, but anyway, dude, you're not taking into account the fact that Jaylen Brown jumped over 3'5" Kai Cenat. Yeah.
Yeah, that's on me, bro.
It was pretty impressive.
And then he dabbed at the end. He didn't even cover his eyes for the dunk. He's dabbed at the end pretty much.
Yeah, no, yeah. You gotta respect
somebody needs to tell Jaylen Brown it's no longer 2016. Then of course DeMar DeRozan, he actually did have a great month of February. I think he was just behind Jason Tatum in points scored and things of that nature and stats. So since Jason Tatum was already off the board, kind of just went with my second option there. But DeMar still, he is getting older. So for him to have that kind of month for the Bulls really need it. So,
yeah. Borderline play-in team. I think they have a chance if they make a push. They can easily make the play-in if they start playing well. But there's that. Really quick, just after that wild card player of the month from all of us, East and West NBA edition, I'm going to talk about a real quick feels-good story of the week. Again, I try to do these each week. But here we go. Drew Fowler. He's a walk-on linebacker for the University of Washington Huskies, who, of course, were the national runner-ups to one of Brandon's favorite teams, the University of Michigan, this past year. There's a Big Ten championship game. But yeah, anyway, he received a full scholarship for his remaining years at UW. Jed Fish, who was the old University of Arizona head coach, privately offered him the scholarship on his very first day after becoming the head coach after Kalen DeBoer left University of Washington to be the next head coach at Alabama. Usually, when you go online or YouTube, and I was actually watching a few of these videos the other day. I think they're pretty cool. Watching the kids or the walk-ons get like those scholarships and all the team goes crazy. And then they call their parents and the parents are relieved because they don't have to pay $100K in tuition and all that stuff. So I think those videos are cool, but this time actually wasn't one of those. Jed Fish is like, nope, I'm just calling him to the office. I'm going to tell him straight up. And I think that while it's like not, you're not going to get any clicks on that. You're not going to, get as many views on a video or a story. I still think it's important because I think it does just as good or better of a job of strengthening the connections between players and the coaches in the locker room, which I think will mean a lot for, especially for a coach that just got there. So he's definitely building connections with his players. Pretty cool story. And Drew Fowler, the guy who got the scholarship, he was originally offered a full ride scholarship at UCLA, but he chose to turn it down to be a walk-on at UW, which I think is a pretty cool story. So he to finally get recognition by his new head coach, probably just amazing feeling. So that's my feels good story of the week. I hope you enjoyed that, and let me know if we should keep doing these segments on the podcast. And without further ado, I think we should move on to our last big main segment here, and that is the courtroom. So today, I'm the judge because I won last week. If you haven't listened to the most recent podcast, make sure to go on Spotify and listen to that. But I won. I'm the GOAT. And now I'm the judge. Again, the winner gets to judge the next one and also pick the topic. And the topic that I picked today for Josh and Brandon to debate is who is a better all-time player? Who has the better career? I guess that's kind of two different questions. So what we've chosen to do today for the courtroom is Josh will be the topic that we have chosen today for the courtroom is who is the better all-time player, Big Ben or Phillip Rivers? And I'll just say Josh has chosen to argue for Big Ben and Brennan has chosen to argue for Phillip Rivers. And I think this is a very even argument. You know, Big Ben does have those two rings. Phillip Rivers has a little
bit. Don't give away arguments, bro.
No, and I'm saying Phillip Rivers does have, definitely a lot of arguments to be made. Definitely set a legacy there in San Diego. So I think there's a lot of things to be said on both sides. But since I don't think that there's really an argument or someone that's like the consensus, I think it's kind of even. So I'll say that like there's not going to be a prosecutor or a defense here. I think that there should just be some straight up deliberation, and it's like a civil case. Like who's going to win the civil case, you know? And I think to start, I'll let Brandon start, which will mean Josh will get to finish. Is that okay with you guys, or do you guys have any objections to that?
No, I'm good.
No, so I'm just going all in, just like laying out everything I got right now, and then Josh.
No, you can do some opening statements, and by the way, make sure to acknowledge the honorable Judge Coleman has just entered the courtroom. No one's clapping.
Yeah, I was clapping. You just can't see it.
Gotcha. Okay, got it.
I was actually bowing down.
Even better. And Brennan, I hope I got the same reaction from you. Is that
you did? You can actually see him. He did not do that actually.
Oh, okay.
I was actually clapping. I was like.
And I was bowing, you know, and that's
got it. Okay.
More honorable.
For sure. Okay. But anyway, Brandon, make your opening statements of why you think Phillip Rivers is a better all-time player than Ben Roethlisberger.
Obviously, I have Phillip Rivers, like I said already, greatest quarterback in Chargers history. He displayed remarkable passing skills, and he achieved a lot in his impressive career. He threw for 421 passing touchdowns, 209 interceptions, and he averaged 260 passing yards per game. Back in the day, you know, they were throwing that thing. Everyone was competing with Tom Brady. You know, nowadays we have more mobile quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields. Then we have that's really the mobile quarterbacks I can name for you. But not just talk about his skills. He was a great leader, and you know, he was able to rally his team. And the only, I don't want to say, nope, I can't go against my guy, but as of right now, that's going to be my opening statement. And then after that, I'll hit you with everything that I know about the GOAT, Phillip Rivers.
Gotcha. Good opening statement. It's good to hear that you have a solid footing in your understanding of the game, Brandon. It's good to know that there's a fellow ball knowledge connoisseur in the courtroom. So I want to move everyone's attention to Josh for his opening statement of why he thinks that Ben Roethlisberger, Big Ben, all time better. So let's hear it.
Thank you, Honorable Judge Coleman. Okay. Well, anyway, my opening statement is going to be short and sweet to the point. Would you say winning is a quarterback stat, Coleman?
I don't know. You tell me. I don't have to think.
No, in your humbled opinion.
Oh, that's a deep rooted question, man. I mean, this is like it's early on a Thursday morning. I got to the courtroom very early. I've been up all night. You know, I don't want to have to think about these questions.
Okay, well, some may say that quarterback. So winning is a quarterback stat.
Sure.
That's why Tom Brady's the GOAT. That's why you got Montana with four. Let's put Ben Roethlisberger in there at two. You know, Phillip Rivers has zero Super Bowl wins. Has he even been to the Super Bowl, Brandon?
No.
Can't even get his team to the Super Bowl. Best player in the franchise history can't get to the Super Bowl. My guy got there multiple times and won it twice. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much my opening statement. Ben Roethlisberger has two. Philip Rivers has zero. Couldn't even get there once. Thank you.
All right. Well, now that we've heard both of the opening statements for our arguments, I'd like to turn the stage to Brandon. There was definitely some derogatory and inflammatory comments made by our special individual here in the courtroom today, that being Josh. So I want to give Brandon a chance to respond to, you know, the outrageous claim, not outrageous, but of heinous claims that were made, and give Brandon a chance to respond, and then we'll just keep going, piggybacking off there. And then maybe at the end, I'll have some questions I'll ask you, and then, you know, closing remarks. And that's kind of like an outline of what I think this courtroom session will go like. So Brandon, you have the lead.
Thank you. I'm kind of excited for the question part because I really think that's where I can use my ball knowledge to really strengthen my case. So
sure.
I was, you know, when you said that, I was like, hell yeah. But anyway, so obviously, you know, Josh is just going to be like Super Bowl this, Super Bowl that. Yeah, Philip Rivers didn't make the Super Bowl. You know, some greats never won the Super Bowl. You know, Dan Marino, Hall of Fame quarterback. Did he need to win the Super Bowl to be a Hall of Famer? No.
Yeah, but so, you compare him to others that did.
Hey, order in the court, please.
Come on. Like, I mean, it's just crazy. But I'll talk about some of his other achievements. Obviously, he was an 8-time Pro Bowler, you know, putting up consistent numbers. He has numerous franchise records for the Chargers. He has the most career passing touchdowns, and most consecutive completions in a single game. He also led the NFL in passing yards and passing touchdowns in different seasons. And that just shows that highlights his longevity in the league. I believe he's in the league for 16 years, I believe, 2004 to 2020, where he ended his career on the Colts. He ranks fifth all-time in career passing yards and touchdowns, and he holds the record the record was 25 completions, straight completions in a single game, which, you know, think about that. I mean, this guy's, he's throwing the rock and he's dotting up, you know, 25 passes in a row. That's very unheard of. And 25 completions. I mean, this guy was really picking apart defenses, and he holds the record for most 300 yard passing games in Chargers history. So I think that just showcases that this guy was really, you know, throwing the rock. Obviously, like Josh said, the Super Bowls, I can't do anything about the Chargers, you know, not really building around him, giving him his best. I mean, he had Antonio Gates and Damian Thomason, but at that point, it's coaching. So, you know, I'm sorry for Philip Rivers to not make the Super Bowl. It sucks. But I believe he still had a great career out of it. You know, this is a comparison, so I'm just going to say it. He had more passing touchdowns and less interceptions than Ben Roethlisberger. He threw for...
He had three more touchdowns, dude, and two less interceptions.
I have to do the game of numbers, Josh, if you're doing the game of Super Bowls, okay?
And he threw for less yards.
Hey, order the court. Make an objection.
I mean, he's taking my statement. I was about to state...
Overruled.
That's crazy.
Keep going, Brennan.
Thank you.
Wrap it up, though, please. Hurry up.
I will. Yeah. He threw for his career. I mean, you know, it's just me, Josh, and then questions. So I was going to just give you all I had, man.
Sure.
For his career, he threw for 63,440 passing yards. You know, he had a better career completion percentage than Ben Roethlisberger at 64.9%. He had a better passing yard attempt, you know, a game for 7.8. He had more passing yards a game, more passing touchdowns, more interceptions, a higher rate. The only thing that he did not have was rushing attempts, rushing yards. But that just shows you that Ben Roethlisberger didn't really trust his arm. You know, he had to get out of the pocket.
Okay.
So dumb.
Okay.
He obviously had more Pro Bowls too, which just proves that, you know, he was well respected in the league. So that's all I have for you, Coleman.
Thank you, Brandon. That's a very, I've never heard that argument before, that he didn't trust his arm. That's actually a compelling argument.
The dumbest argument I've ever heard in my life.
Hey, and here, you know, Josh, you're lucky that you have an opportunity to argue against it now. So you can take all those things you heard and you have the floor now for that. Please make it shorter, because I don't want to hear another yap session.
Yeah, I'm not going to let you go to sleep, Judge.
Okay, thank you.
So I want to put out there, two Super Bowl winner. He did lose one to the Packers. that Brandon mentioned earlier. I got the stats on that. 6-time Pro Bowler. And it's funny that Brandon mentioned this guy because I have him on my list here. These Hall of Fame quarterbacks, John Elway, Jim Kelly, and Dan Marino, they're really comparable to my boy Ben Roethlisberger, yet he leads all three of them in wins, win percentage, and postseason appearances, and had the longest career among them. So longevity is a huge thing here. When they talk about LeBron and MJ, LeBron's longevity got him the win, is in some people's minds why he's better than Michael Jordan. So if that's the case you want to build here, longevity, my boy Ben Roethlisberger, he got that, you know. Like I said before, 600 more yards in his career than Phillip Rivers. Only, like Brandon said, he has Phil Rivers has a few more touchdowns. I think it was two less interceptions. Whoopty freaking do. And then the completion percentage, I don't know why Brandon thinks it's 0.5% that big of a deal. Ben Roethlisberger had a 64.4% completion percentage. And only 0.2 less pass attempts per game through his whole career. He had a long he had 18 years of a career. So, and at the tail end, I mean, he was pretty freaking old. Okay, let's all remember that he had, and he had Kenny Pickett right behind him. So, and
Josh, I have a question.
Well, no, you either object or you have to
I
wait.
An objection, Judge.
Go ahead.
Sustained.
Thank you. I don't know what Josh's math is, but from 2004 to 2021, I don't think that's 18 years. I think that's 17, but that's just...
That is some basic arithmetic.
On the site.
And it's... Well, I mean, sorry that you're using Wikipedia.
I'm sorry that it got wrong. I'm sorry.
And he said longevity. I mean, he played one more year than Phillip Rivers. So, I mean,
yeah, basically it's one more year. It's a long career, dude. Yeah, I wasn't... I was just... Can you, like, let me make my argument? Thank you.
Yeah.
Order in the court.
And then Brandon wants to talk about the rushing yards. I think Phillip Rivers, how many did he have in his entire career? Oh, my God, he had seasons of negative rushing yards. he had 600 in his entire career. 1.6.
Josh, I have another thing.
Oh, my God, dude.
Sacks count for negative yards, so he was
no, they don't. Quarterback. No, they
yeah,
do
they
not.
Do. Google
not
it.
Not in NFL.
Google it. They do in Madden. They do in Madden.
College.
So.
I literally heard Peyton Manning talk about it. That's why he wanted to go back to college, because it didn't count in the NFL, but he wanted to go back to college because – is he had negative rushing yards in college, but it doesn't count in the NFL. He literally talked about it. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Please welcome. Let me make my argument.
Well, if you hurry up.
I'd like the tempers to be to lowered in the courtroom, please.
Well, you won't let me talk, Judge.
All right, order in the court. No more
might
objections.
Might be the last time I come in the freaking courtroom if this is the way we ran.
Outlandish statement here, but let's keep going.
Ben Roethlisberger has 1,300 yards in his entire career rushing. That's 700. That doubles Phillip Rivers. So, I mean, take that as you may. Phillip Rivers has 3 rushing touchdowns. Let me repeat that. 3 rushing touchdowns in 16 years. Can't even get a quarterback sneak with that guy. Ben Roethlisberger has 20, and his long being 31. So he can actually move a little bit in his younger days.
All right, wrap it up.
I'm done. All right.
Bro, I'm just because you guys said I timed it. You guys said the same amount
I'm
of
done.
Time. You sure? Well, can you wrap it up for the like
again?
Like
I mean, that's pretty much all it was. I mean, that's
oh, okay.
That's
got it. Got it. All right. Well, I'd like to ask you guys a few questions. First of all, I want to make a few comments. I like what you guys have been saying. There's definitely been some back and forth commentary. One thing I'd like to add is these guys were not like particularly known for their rushing abilities, were they? Like, well, why are we comparing their lackluster rushing abilities when that's not the main focus of their game? Have you ever like been like, oh, in your head, oh my gosh, Big Ben rolls out and he runs and he goes 60 yards for
the
touchdown, and you have not also never done that the same thing for Phillip Rivers. So I think those are two arguments that, like, sure, you can make the arguments, but they don't really mean much, they don't hold much weight. So that's one thing. Another thing I'd like to ask, here's one thing. So this question's for Josh. Josh, do you think that Big Ben's defense helped him to win those two championships?
I mean, yeah, but like, didn't Tom Brady's defense help him win championships? And we don't. Like,
are we talking about Tom Brady? I'm talking about in comparison, like, because you used the arguments like against
who did Ben Roethlisberger have to beat to get the Super Bowl? He had to go through the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Tom Brady. We talk about Peyton Manning when he beat Tom Brady. We don't talk about Ben Roethlisberger when he beat Tom Brady. That's crazy. The only reason Eli Manning's even a thought to be a Hall of Famer is because he beat Tom Brady twice. Ben Roethlisberger had to do the exact same thing. He just wasn't in the Super Bowl.
Got it. Okay, I just wanted to get your understanding. And now I'll do the same for Brandon. Brandon, how do you justify the fact that Philip Rivers played for so long and he doesn't have a rings? Is that on him, or is that on his team, or is that on coaching staff? Where does the blame rest? And then how can you argue that at the same time that he's a better player than Big Ben, besides the lack of Super Bowl rings?
For the Super Bowl, I mean, he just couldn't. You know, I would want to say it's lack of help. I mean, he did have some help, but you know, he needs more. Obviously, like Josh said, everyone in the AFC at the time had to go through Tom Brady, and Philip Rivers just happened to be one of those quarterbacks that just couldn't beat the GOAT. I mean, so that happens to people. Patrick Mahomes couldn't beat the GOAT, you know. So I think, you know, if Tom Brady wasn't in the AFC, maybe Philip Rivers goes to the Super Bowl in an alternate universe.
Yeah, let's just talk. I mean, that's speculation.
Objection. Or wait, order in the court. I'm not the...
No, I'm just saying speculation. That's
order.
Speculatory.
Sure. Sustained. But okay. Keep going, Brandon.
But, I mean, obviously, he did, like, you know, he had his team lead the league and, you know, NFL, or he had the best offense in the league. And, obviously, his defense just, you know, couldn't help him. So, I mean, you know, like Josh said, is QBs a win? Are wins a QBs thing? You know, it's tough because the QBs don't play both sides of the ball. So I just think, you know, maybe if he had a better defense in his career, he might have been a Super Bowl champion. But, right, you know, his stats prove that he's a known baller.
Got it. All right. And I think, you guys think it's fair to say that you guys kind of closed out your arguments there? And you guys think it's okay for me to go into ruling?
Yeah, I just also want to say that the Steelers in their 2006 Super Bowl win, they didn't have to play Tom Brady. I don't know where Josh got that from. That was what I had to say. You know, when Philip Rivers was in the playoffs, he had to play the GOAT. So seems like Ben Roethlisberger was dodging there, some would say.
Got it.
I'm sorry, we got a luck of a draw.
He actually never had to play Tom Brady in the playoffs. So
that's
all he did.
Maybe in the playoffs, but in their Super Bowl wins, he did not play Tom Brady.
Go ahead and play him,
though. Okay, why would he play Tom Brady in the Super Bowl in the same conference?
Or, like, Super Bowl.
Just,
like, hey,
let's just move on to
their same year. Same year. I got you.
Sorry,
Josh. I know what you mean. All right.
Thank you.
Overall, I have to say, I'm pretty disappointed in you guys. These are some pretty god-awful arguments, but I will rule. Let me go into deliberation. All right, I've returned from deliberation. I have some thoughts to make about the arguments that have been presented in the courtroom for this week. Obviously, if you guys tuned out, went to sleep after listening to Josh and Brandon's terrible arguments, we are talking about who is the better player all time, Philip Rivers or Ben Roethlisberger. And that's a combination of, you know, their play style along with their accolades and everything, just taking a holistic approach to the question. So after further review, if you will, the jury, which is me, has deliberated, and this is what we found. So we've done a thorough investigation over the question of, you know, who's the better quarterback, and the roles. The conclusion that we've come to is that, or I'll start by saying this. I think these are both guys that if you're, you know, for either if you're running a franchise in Madden or if you're starting a franchise in real life, these are both guys that you'd want at the forefront of your franchise. No one really touched on the fact of, like, the personality and social aspect, which I think is, like, fine. But to be honest, if we did talk about
Josh, I get what you're saying. I didn't want to go there with Josh. No, it just didn't seem fair, you know, with Ben Roethlisberger track history.
I mean, hey, let's let the freaking judge talk. Like, I mean, dang.
Okay. Listen, guys, listen. Thank you. Thank you very much. But I do think that there would be some points docked off on Big Ben's considering his track record. But that's because that wasn't really brought up. But so, and I think it's fair that Brandon did bring it up because it is kind of a touchy subject. So we'll move on from there. But these are both guys that you want running your franchise. And to be honest, their stats are pretty similar. In fact, this is one of the closest, like, debates, I think. Because to be honest, in my opinion, after, you know, listening to the arguments and also everything else, I think that Big Ben's Super Bowls were largely based on his defense. His defense was crazy during his Super Bowls. But at the same time, Philip Rivers had some pretty good weapons his entire career and never could make it. So there's definitely some arguments being made on the both sides. But at the end of the day, it's not about what I thought before. It's about what I thought after the arguments. And after the arguments, overall, I think that the winner and who presented the best argument for their player of choice is, drumroll please, Brendan Harkey. I think Brendan Harkey delivered an overall better representation of what it means to be a better player in terms of Big Ben versus Philip Rivers. And Josh, you might be shocked. I can't see your face because your camera's broken, because you probably beat it in when you've lost before. But and this is not a hating Josh thing. This is a hating the argument. I think that it was foul play to go after the fact that Philip Rivers didn't have any rings, when Big Ben's, the only reason he has those rings is his defense. It doesn't matter.
When do we talk about Tom Brady winning because of his defense? We don't. We say he has seven rings because he won seven rings.
Yeah, and Tom Brady,
my boy, and
four times.
The fact that we can't use rushing because they weren't rushing quarterback.
It's part of the game.
It is part of the game, though.
Sure, it's part of the game, but they barely ever did it. They were terrible.
For me to sit here and put blinders onto the fact that they could run the ball, and Big Ben was better at running the ball than Philip Rivers was in his entire career by like double the amount, and not bring that up would be insane of me.
Dude, you know why they call Big Ben, right?
For everybody listening, it's a hoax. Beat me. It's fine. I don't care. But it's just like, at the same time, don't act like it's not.
Josh, you know why they call him Big Ben, right? They call him Big Ben because he's the 315-foot piece of concrete that sits in London, because he's immobile. He's a statue. He does not move. He's a bot. He doesn't move. Same with Philip Rivers. They're both like 6'5", 6'6".
He has 20 rushing touchdowns. 20.
Rivers had like 20 years, and they're probably all QB sneaks.
Philip Rivers had one last year. He had only three.
Sure. I think that Mike Tomlin utilizes the QB sneak at the goal line more.
I'm not going to have another conversation about it. You made your ruling. Congratulations.
Okay. There are some, bro.
Philip Rivers had arguably one of the top three greatest running backs of all time. So, you know,
I was about to say that. There's
and
definitely some.
And also had Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, one of the biggest what ifs in NFL history.
He had a pretty good run, Brandon.
You can't pick on Philip Rivers for not winning Super Bowls.
Yes, you can. That's the entire freaking point. Do we ever talk about Tom Brady needing so much help to get a Super Bowl? He did in the first 3 years. You think that was all Tom Brady? No. But guess what? He has seven rings. He's the GOAT. And you compare him to Ben Roethlisberger. You're going to bring up the ring. It doesn't matter.
All right, well.
Joe Montana, Tom Brady. Joe Montana only has four. Tom Brady has seven. Tom Brady's the GOAT. Damn. I mean, let's throw all the stats out the window and just figure out who we're going to. I don't know. I'm done talking. I don't.
GG's, Josh. GG's.
This is why I beat you every time in basketball, Brandon. Shut your mouth.
Not the first time I beat Josh today, Coleman. Not the first time.
Ah!
It's clearly some very heated debates versus who has these opinions, but clearly some very polarizing opinions on the podcast. But we'll move on. So that's the courtroom for you. So make sure to come back each week. We get feisty. So. Very, very last thing, of course, we do at the end of every podcast. We go over the games the record that we had last week picking games, and then the games that we're going to pick for the upcoming week. So, of course, this past week, we picked some games. We picked 10 games, and our records were as follows. So, Josh and Brandon both went 5-5. I went 4-6. I've had some pretty bad weeks recently, but I'm still only two games behind. Josh and Brandon are both 44-36, while I am 42-38. Two games behind. You know, a lot can change in these last 2 weeks we have in the season. So for week 9, here are the 10 games that we have. We also have a week 10 after this. We're doing 10 weeks. And for those of you who are new to the pod, whoever has the least amount of wins out of 100, out of these 10 weeks of 10 games, at the end of it, the loser is going to have to pay for an expensive dinner for three of us. So that's what's up for grabs.
Wait, can
that's
I just where... add something?
Yeah, what's up?
So last week when I made my picks, I used Snapchat AI. So if you're ever making a parlay, don't trust Snapchat AI. That's why I went 5-5.
Wait. Whoa. Did I just lose to Snapchat AI? Oh, yeah. My. You got to be kidding
me. Hold
on.
I think that should be tampering, though.
Oh.
You're not making your own picks? Are we, asking outside help here? Whoa, this is a cheating gate here.
This is a breaking
news. It was for my science project AI is bad for the world. And, Many people would use AI to help them place bets.
You're right. Okay. I see that.
I think we need to do a full investigation on this.
I think there's definitely going to have to be an oversight committee taking a look at this. So for those of you listening to the podcast, we'll have to deliberate over the weekend and
dude,
discuss.
I'm going to start asking like actual experts about my picks. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
You're going to have to call Jay Billis?
No, I'm going to call Curb Herb Street.
He's not an expert at anything. He's an expert at sitting in his couch and watching TV and eating food.
Me and him are good friends. And I'll call Dick Vitale. Me and him are good friends. You know,
Dickie V, the goat. I love Dickie V. All right. Well, definitely, Brandon, you're suspended. Definitely. You're definitely under probation.
It's 2 or 3 losses for sure.
Oh, I mean, first, believe me, bro, I would be definitely fine with that. But I think the oversight committee has to take a look at it. There's definitely some foul play involved, Brandon. That's some questionable activity.
And for you to just come out and admit that is crazy.
The beef.
You got yourself in trouble,
dude. If I would have went 10-0, it would have been record breaking.
Then you would have cheated, so it wouldn't have counted. It'd have been an asterisk. It'd have been like Barry Bonds.
So we're just gonna move on to week 9. You know, this is our second to last week because week 10 is our last week before, like they said, someone has to buy us dinner. So just go ahead and move on. The Timberwolves of Minnesota are playing the Cavaliers of Cleveland. We all have the Cavs. After hearing Kat's injury, devastating for Wolves fans like Coleman. I think the Cavs win this one. And then the next game we have is the Heat at the Thunder. We all have the Thunder here. Heat are climbing their way up the rankings. They're not, you know, they're not bad this year, but we believe that the Thunder are just better. On Saturday, we have Josh's ranked 15th.
Say Josh and Coleman's.
Okay.
No, don't you dare.
You better not, Brandon. I have an argument to be made.
You pick against them every time.
That's not. You know why I pick against them? Because I think
I don't care. You're hedging your bets. I know what you're doing.
I'm hedging. I have to hedge.
That's not fair. You should have to either ride or die with your team.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, we have number 15, Josh's Kentucky / asterisk Coleman's maybe Kentucky.
There we go. I'll take
number
that.
Number 4, Tennessee. Josh, obviously, ride or die with his team, whereas me and Coleman believe that the home team, Tennessee, will win this one. Coleman obviously says he's a Kentucky fan, but I understand where he's coming from. If they win, he wins. If they lose, he wins even bigger. So Coleman's in a win-win situation here, which is great for him.
Yep.
Moving on.
My eggs in one basket.
Moving on, we have number 7, North Carolina, playing at number 9, Duke. Me and Coleman both went with Duke here. Josh went with North Carolina. We'll let him explain why.
First of all, I would never pick Duke ever in my life. I would rather die slowly. North Carolina, though, I think is just the better team here. RJ Davis. But, I mean, I think RJ Davis, the second best shooting guard in the league. I mean, in the NCAA for sure. Some can argue first, but I don't. Not to me.
Who would be first?
Antonio Reeves. Anyway, UNC has already beat Duke once. I know that's at North Carolina, but in these games, I think they're just so heated that it really doesn't matter who gets home court. I think it's just like it's pretty much a toss-up every time they play, but I think UNC just is a better team, and I think Jerry McCain, I don't think he's had a good game in at his home court. What do you call that? Indoor? Cameron Indoor. Thank you. I blanked. It's not as good as Rupp, so I just blanked. Anyway, I don't think he's had a good game at Cameron Indoor for a while, so I don't think he's going to have one today. I mean, not today, but Saturday. So, yeah, I think UNC wins.
Got it. Thank you. By the way, Josh said he'd rather pick Duke, or rather not pick Duke, but he picked Duke last week, so that's a lie right there.
Yeah, really? Sunday,
did you Sunday, actually? Oh, he did? Oh, it was over NC State, right?
Yeah, but that was like, I mean...
No, but if he's a man of his word, he would rather die slowly.
Oh, no, was that FS? No, that was week 6.
What I would rather die slowly.
That was NC State.
I did die slowly, I think. Just a little bit inside.
A little bit.
Sunday, we have the Milwaukee Bucks at the Los Angeles Clippers. We all have the Clippers here. Not much to say, really. The Bucks and the Clippers, didn't they just play?
Yeah, they did. And it was the same situation. And
Bucks,
you picked the Bucks,
Bucks came back without Giannis and won thanks to Damian Lillard. But today we have the Clippers, or on Sunday we believe that the Clippers will win. Next game on Sunday we have the Wolves. Don't know who keeps putting these Wolves games in here,
dude. Okay, you can't dude, they're the number one team in the West for now.
Just messing. We have the Wolves at the Lakers. Like we already said, Cat's out. So we all went with the Lakers. Might be the biggest fall off in NBA history when the Wolves lose 20 straight. Anyway, Monday we have Suns at Cavs. I've made a pact to never choose the Suns again because when I choose them, they lose. And when I don't, they win. So I'm going with the Cavs here. Coleman also went with the Cavs. Josh, there's really no need to ask him why he went with the Suns because Devin Booker is his stepfather, but we shall ask him why he went with Devin Booker.
Does that make Luka his grandpa?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I don't get these assumptions. I really don't. I just think the Suns are a better team. I mean, there's nothing to do with who they have on the team. Yeah, they have the greatest shooting guard of all time.
Okay.
He does have the greatest shoe created by a shooting guard of all time.
This is insane. This is a Devin Booker podcast.
No, it should be. It really should. I could dive deep on that one. I think I can make a compelling argument on that one. But no, the Suns at Cavs. I think Devin Booker will be back for this game. The Suns did beat the Denver Nuggets without him. So I think they're kind of getting they're picking up speed. Grayson Allen obviously is just out of nowhere.
Yeah, he's playing insane.
Seriously good.
I watched his high school mixtape a couple of days ago. I'll just stop y'all from yapping.
Because we're picking games. Not a Devin Booker, story of his life. So last game we have on Monday, we have the Golden State Warriors at the Spurs. We all have the Warriors here. Wimby's doing good, but I think he's overhyped. I'm just gonna leave it at that. Tuesday, okay, we have the 76ers at the Knicks. Me and Coleman went with the Knicks here. Josh went with the Sixers. Josh, why do you believe that the Sixers will walk into Madison Square Garden and walk away with the W on Tuesday?
Because, I mean, they have Tyrese Maxey. Kelly Oubre Jr. has been playing good for them. I mean, they really haven't had that big of a fall off of that beat. Obviously, that hinders them a lot, but I haven't seen the production hindered as much. I think they're kind of leaning on their guard play at this point. Tyrese is picking up where he should be. I mean, that's pretty much it. And for everybody listening to the podcast, obviously, Brandon, and you see Brandon and Coleman picking almost the exact same slate here. It's just another thing against me. It's fine.
Called Great Minds Think Alike. So
this is like a podcast. The theme is kind of I'm just sticking with Brandon. I picked Brandon to win the thing, and I want to just make my case that it's not correlated. I'm purely picking based off.
No, it's 100%. I'm sure that that's what it is.
Okay, so you're being sarcastic. Okay, got it. Okay, well, hey, well, when Brandon and I get 10 and 0 for the first time in courtroom or it's not courtroom.
I think
Wildcard's history. Then we'll have to reevaluate.
Would you also, since you use Brandon's picks, would you also be in the cheating gate? Because I mean, he is still under investigation. He may have cheated for this one too.
He might have, and that's perfectly valid.
Him,
but I was
you
unaware.
Followed him.
I plead the fifth.
You're aware now. I mean, I'll let you change every game.
Hey, how about this? The last game of the week, Bucks at Kings. Josh and I both have the Bucks, and Brandon has the Kings. So that right there is just proof outright that Brandon and I did not pick all the games together. By definition, we didn't. But yeah, that game right there is going to be our last game of the week. So Brandon had the Kings in that game, by the way. Josh and I had the Bucks. And yeah, with that being said, I think that's the end of the podcast for this week. I want to thank everyone for showing out, listening to the podcast, listening to the yapping, listening to the arguments, listening to the hard feelings and the beef that we still have. So it's definitely interesting getting on here every week with these boys. So thank you to them. And also thank you guys for listening to the entirety of this episode of the Wild Cards podcast. I want to thank everyone for showing out. Make sure to go into our Instagram. If you look up Show Wildcards, SHOWWILDCARDS on Instagram, there's a link tree there. You can find all of our social medias, including TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, everything that you can possibly find. You'll probably find us on there. And with that being said, thank you guys for so much for listening to this episode of the Wildcards podcast, and peace.
Peace. Yeah.